Our reading for October 12th begins in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confession and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So when we left off with chapter 2, we noticed that he was giving a warning about neglecting those things that they had heard, drifting away from those things. The message had proved to be reliable, and God punished those that were disobedient, so you should not neglect these things. We get toward the end of chapter 2. He had talked about the helping that we have and the being brothers with Jesus and the need for Jesus to dwell bodily on this earth to be that merciful and high priest in the service of God as well as make the propitiation for our sins. So in chapter 3, he builds on this yet again, says, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. It's not that he's preaching Jesus to them for the first time, but that they need to be reminded about Jesus. Remember that at this point, they're considering going back to Judaism, so he's trying to reinforce their faith in Jesus and point out that Jesus, in every way, and the gospel that is under Jesus, in every way, is superior to that which was under the law of Moses. And so when he talks about that heavenly calling that they had already come to, they'd already been obedient to the gospel, he says, remember who Jesus was, the high priest of our confession, and was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful. So he's comparing Jesus and Moses, but in verse 3, he says, Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. A number of years ago, we went on one of those tours where you could go see some, I don't know how you'd describe it, just very upscale, fancy houses. And the first thing they would do when they took you inside to tour one of these houses, they would tell you who designed the house. This house was designed by so-and-so. These are the materials that were used. This is the size of the house. Look at the craftsmanship. This is a custom home. All those different things. But it was because of that architect that everything else fell into place. And the architect drew the plans. The builder built according to the plans, using the materials that were specified. All of those things. So they're given that credit, if you will, for everything that you see in the house itself. And that's what he's saying is, that the builder has more honor than the house itself. Yes, it's a very nice house, but it's only a very nice house because this person designed it and had it built according to their specifications. Verse 4, every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Then he goes back to this comparison between Jesus and Moses. Verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant. Verse 6, Christ is faithful as a son. Which is greater, a servant in the house or the son of the master of the house? Well, it would be the son, and that's the reason that he makes this comparison in this way. So Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confession. In other words, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are that house which has been built. So then when he gets into verse 7, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He's talking about under Moses, they rebelled. Under Moses, they were condemned for that rebellion. Under Moses, they had to wait until that generation died off before they could go into the promised land. So that's verse 11. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 10, I was provoked with that generation. They always go astray in their heart. So verse 12, he ties all of this together to make the application. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. If you are disobedient to Jesus, after having come to him, what would you expect to receive? You'd expect to receive the same thing that those that rebelled under Moses did. They received God's wrath. They were turned away. God was provoked. They would not enter that rest. And they were entering the rest, which was, you know, the promised land. But the promised land for the Christian is the home with God, that home in heaven. So it's very important that we realize that when he says, take care lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, he says, just like they had, and they were punished for it. Verse 13, he wants to engage everyone together in fighting off this evil, unbelieving heart. And he says, exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So not only the reminder from the writer of the book of Hebrews, but he says you need to engage with each other and use that relationship to exhort one another so that you don't fall into that evil, unbelieving heart. Verse 14 starts with that word for, so he's going to draw more conclusion. For we have come to share in Christ. That relationship that we have one another is a fellowship that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ and with each other in Jesus Christ. But that only lasts if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. If you don't hold that confidence, if you fail to remain faithful, then you lose that fellowship with God through Jesus, and you lose that fellowship with each other in Jesus. All of that falls apart, and you lose all of it. Verse 15, again, he says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Your heart is very important. You must guard it with all of your ability. You know, Jesus said, and Solomon likewise said, out of the heart springs the issues of life. And then Jesus also told us that the heart can be very deceitful. We need to be very careful. We need to guard it. The way you guard it is by storing up the right things into it. It needs to have the Word of God stored in your heart, not, you know, your own priorities. It needs to be the priorities of God. Verse 16, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And so what were those people? They were the people that saw the slavery. They were the same people that cried out to God because of that harsh slavery. God heard them, sent Moses to Pharaoh, sent all of those plagues upon Egypt because Pharaoh's heart was hard, and then brought them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, and then closed the Red Sea behind them, killing the Egyptian army. He protected them both day and night. He brought water out of the rock. He brought food from heaven. He did all of these things, yet he says they were also the ones that rebelled. Even after seeing all of that happen, they still rebelled. And if they could do so, after seeing all of that, then we need to be just as cautious for ourselves. Verse 17, with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? which were those that came out of Egypt. To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And that's the danger for them and the danger for us, that we could end up not entering the promised rest because we are disobedient. Understand, you can be obedient in some things and not be obedient in enough things. In other words, we can be obedient in things to make us look righteous and make us look like we are faithful, but fall short of being found faithful in the eyes of God and being welcomed into heaven. So I can show up to services and I can say all the right things at those times. I can even say all the right things in the workplace and at home and all those different things. But if my heart is not in it, if my heart doesn't truly store up the faith in God that is needed, then it won't do any good. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? In other words, didn't we do a lot of great stuff in your name? And verse 23, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They are counted among the wicked, even though they had done some good things. So we need to be very careful that we're not counted as those who are disobedient, as those who are unable to enter because of unbelief. That concludes our reading for today. Please come back tomorrow and we will look at Hebrews chapter 4. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all during this time.